and welcome to Changing Room 4, the Championship Rugby podcast with Sid Young, Charles Fidler and me, Jamie Mountain. How are we doing this week, boys? Sid, how's things?
Oh, mate, you know, it's Mother's Day, isn't it? So, you know, it's up and down. It's great because it's Mother's Day and all that good stuff. But fuming because it means you have to interrupt your weekend of watching with talking to your bleeding mum. That's no fun.
Sure she'd love you for saying that.
Yeah, but hey, at least we didn't have to mess about with the whole shebang, seeing as it's coronavirus. So didn't have to, you know, didn't have to go around there and mess about, arse about like we usually do. So happy days. Shout out mum.
Fair enough. Happy Mother's Day, Sid's mum. Charles, how about yourself?
Yeah, also equally good. Was very much the number one son that I am, and sent flowers early doors and had a quick call this morning, avoiding Sid's arsing around. I was tactical, all right? I picked my time of when it was good to talk, where I knew that I didn't have to spend too long having
get
to explain.
Out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Out of the way early. You know it. But other than that, loved it. Watched all the rugby. All the results went in my favour for the teams in the country that I follow, and we also had a great result in the football with the mighty Watford winning as well. So I've had an excellent weekend, thank you. Jamie, how about you? We don't ask you enough.
How about me? Well, I've been on annual leave this week, so today marks the end of my annual leave and I go back to my actual job tomorrow, which is a bit of a shame, but there we go. Life goes on, doesn't it?
Whoa. You mean this isn't your actual job?
You mean Shock horror. This is not my actual
job.
Just my side hustle. Oh, probably not a very successful one at that, given that I don't get paid. Anyway, let's get on to what we're really here for and what people actually want to hear about, which is the championship. So the championship was into its second round this week. Another good round. I'll do a quick rundown of the scores that we saw. So Friday night saw Bedford host Hartbury University. They ran out relatively comfortable winners in the end, 33-25. For the home side, that is. Doncaster Knights. I'll probably switch between the two. Doncaster Knights hosting Coventry, narrowly winning 20 points to 19. Moving into Saturday then, we had three fixtures there. Ealing Trailfinders with another monster win. They scored 54 points to Ampthill 6 at home. Richmond were hosting Cornish Pirates. Unfortunately, a second loss for Richmond, still finding their feet in this league. It was 7-27. Bonus point win there for Cornish Pirates. And Saracens got themselves back to winning ways after last week's shock loss at Cornish Pirates. 45 points to 13 against Jersey Reds, who were playing their first game of the season. So, quick look at the table then. That leaves Ealing sitting pretty on top. They've got a points difference of 97 after two rounds. 97. I'd be pretty happy with that if I was Ealing. They've got maximum points so far with 10. Sitting behind them then, Cornish Pirates on 9 and Doncaster Knights on 8. They're the only three unbeaten teams. That leaves Saracens in 4th, Hartbury 5th, Bedford 6th, Coventry 7th, and then the teams that still haven't won a game yet, Ampthill in 8th with 1 point, Jersey Reds, Richmond in 10th, and Nottingham sitting on the bottom. So, talking points this week then, boys. Ealing flying already.
Well, they obviously found it slightly more difficult against Ampthill, as Ampthill doubled Nottingham's score from the week before. So there was obviously a little bit more defending that Ealing had to do this weekend.
It's unacceptable, really. Defence coach is going to be fuming.
This will be another Sid Young advert soon for another coaching position after last week's drop goal clinic. He'll be offering his defensive services this time. But no, I think, you know, again, another very professional performance from Ealing. They're very, very clear favourites, I think, now to at least reach the final where everyone expects them to be.
Another 8 tries They've got 16 tries for the season after only two rounds.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear that, you know, they are a class apart, and I think it was a point that Sid raised last time out that if this wasn't a COVID year and Saracens hadn't gone through the financial troubles, would Ealing have no competition this year and they'd be on their way to a promotion party?
I'll make that point again. I said it last week, I'll say it again. It's great that they're winning and all that, and they'd be pleased, but at the end of it, they're going to get, you know, they're going to get the trophy, or no, then, you know, they'll get to the finals and all that, great stuff. But then that's going to be the game. If there's ever going to be a game, that's going to be the game that Saracens put out Farrell and the Vunipolas and whoever, and Itoje and all the rest of it. And then, you know, there's a pretty good chance they're going to lose that one. But in any other year, Ealing Trailfinders would be saying to themselves, this is it, we're up. Like, it's just such a unique year for them. And, you know, they're going to be pretty, I don't know, they'd be pretty annoyed, I would think. I don't know what advice to give them. I don't know whether to say, you know, maybe tank some matches, lose it, and maybe you'll feel better about yourself. I don't know, but I just can't see that when it's a tournament format whereby it's not like the Premier League football where you just, you know, win it on the table, where there is a final. I just can't see that they will beat an honestly full strength Saracens. And so the same thing is going to happen to them as last year, and they're just going to be annoyed by the end of the year. If I was saying to a fiddler before we sort of came on air that if this was a championship of, you know, only a few years ago, and you've got one of those historic, you know, flip flop teams like London Irish or how Bristol used to be or whatever else, and they'd go, you know, a year or two in the championship, a year or two in the Premiership, and backwards and forwards, this would be Ealing's year. And I just don't know what else they could do. But yeah, they've got to be frustrated. Ealing fans, let us know. Answers on a postcard.
How do we think they would have got on against... who was bottom of the Premiership last year?
Well, I did have a look.
Was it Worcester? Yeah, London, well, I had Irish?
Just now. So Worcester are sitting at the bottom of the Premiership now. And it does make you think, like, if you stuck out a Worcester team, you know, right now against this Ealing team that just seems to be dominating the way that they are, you know, that you'd think Ealing might take that. So, yeah, that obviously must be a source of frustration for them.
Do you not think there's a bit of a performance difference between the Championship and the Premiership, though? A Premiership Worcester side, okay, they're at the bottom, but they're... A Premiership bottom side is going to be better than a Championship top side.
No, I disagree with that completely.
Really?
No, I was just going to say I disagree with that statement completely. With regard to a bottom team from the Premiership playing the top side in the Championship, because arguably the top side in the Premiership, Saracens, played Cornish Pirates last week and got turned over. So,
it's a very good point. That's a very good point. But what was that, just a fluke? Was that just a fluke result? Was it a freak result?
Well, no. I mean, Cornish Pirates are still unbeaten. Yeah, they backed up the performance for me. And as I said last week, they're now my second team, and I'd like to see a Cornish Pirates Saracens.
They're
final.
Now your second team.
But I do agree with Sid, and I think this is where the RFU need to be really careful, and I think they need to make really sensible decisions for the future of rugby at this level and how the grassroots pyramid looks. I think we need to be at a stage where it's almost like the football system. You know, we've got a Premiership and then we've got a full Championship, and then it goes into Leagues 1, League 2, and then into the Vanarama National Leagues, and I think we need to start mirroring that, and I think we need to get that flow of investment down, because, you know, there are so many amazing places out there that don't have a premier rugby team. You know, Sid and I were talking about it off air, and, you know, you've got places like Liverpool and Brighton and those sorts of places, big places. You've got a Premier League football team, but they've got nothing for rugby. And it just seems that we're missing potentially a huge pool of grassroots talent because there isn't the engagement in these areas. So I think the RFU need to look at it. So like Sid did last week, this is very much an endorsement of myself. So if the RFU do ever get hold of this and have a listen, I'm willing to talk about any offers that they might.
You're the strategy man, aren't you, Charles?
Yeah, something like that. The brains, definitely not the beauty. I'll leave that with Sid.
He's the guy that employs me as the drop goal coach.
Well, it's doomed to fail. Doomed to fail in that case. So following up from that point about Ealing versus Worcester then, hypothetical question for you both. We've currently got a playoff system at the top of the championship whereby you've got the semi-finals, then the two-leg playoff decides who goes to the Premiership. Similar to the discussions around the Six Nations and the bottom team of the Six Nations, would you prefer to see the top team in the championship play the bottom team in the Premiership and the winner stay up?
So I'm going to go against the point that I sort of made and Fiddler's backed up there. And so I had this conversation, as I'm sure we've all got bloody plenty of, you know, WhatsApp groups where everyone's a fucking expert, aren't they, on world rugby management. But I actually said I was in agreement with basically what you've just said there, Jamie, about the Italy thing. I was saying that Italy, despite being, you know, they're so far below the other five nations, yada yada yada, I do still think they're so far above, you know, even the likes of Georgia and stuff like that. I don't think that's the case in the Championship versus the Premiership debate. I think it is fluid enough, and the disparity is smaller, especially at that sort of either end. If you take a mid-table Premiership versus a mid-table Championship, okay, I think there you'll have quite a big, you know, you'd have quite a big points difference if you were to just, you know, play him in a game or play him in a, you know, best two out of three or whatever. I think the Premiership team would dominate. But I think the bottom of the Premiership and the top of the Championship, that gap is closer.
I would prefer it as it is. So I think the Premiership system stays and you do your playoffs and your finals and your Premiership. But for the Championship, you have that relegation promotion. And if you win the Championship, you're promoted in and you have one up, one down. Simple.
And you keep that fresh team coming in and a new unknown element, I guess. I have to say I would agree because it means that if your Premiership team does turn up and it's that one-off match, there's a lot of stuff on it, there's a lot riding on that match, and if they do turn up, you could for several years just have the same 12 teams playing each other, and it would make it a bit stagnant and probably not encourage the clubs in lower leagues to keep trying to push like that. I think from that side of things, I would definitely agree. Saracens then, they're back to winning ways. So they won 45-13, was it? Yeah, 45-13 against Jersey, who have come off a 378-day hiatus, I guess you would say. They haven't had a game in 378 days. Interesting stat I saw on Instagram, I think. But yeah, Saracens soundly beaten them. Charles, you're our resident Sarries fan. What was your take?
Yeah, brilliant. Back to winning ways. I think back to more of the way that Saracens want to play. It just felt a lot more familiar to how we've seen them in the Premiership. So I'm, you know, as a fan, really pleased, but equally, as a neutral, just really pleased to see, you know, some of those Sarries youngsters given a whirl. And, you know, we've got players like Elliot Opetoyinbo at fullback, who seems to be flourishing and under the game time. I think there's other players there. You know, Alex Lewington looks like he's back to his best, and he got a couple of tries, and you know he's had three in two games now. And on the other wing, you've got Ratimi Sagan as well, and I think he's probably someone that will look you know, in the next sort of 3, 4, 5 years as someone I think should be considered for England. But that's just me. But yeah, much better performance, a lot more sort of cohesion. I think what really sort of hits in the gonads a little bit is the fact that Saracens are now on a bye, so they've got a rest next weekend. And I think they sort of just feel that you're getting into some momentum and you're hitting your straps, and then you get a week off. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think then the game after that is away at Richmond, so, you know, potentially not the hardest fixture, but, you know, in terms of getting back to that Jersey match, much more what you expect to see from Saracens, a comfortable 5-point win in the end. So the season's up and running. So yeah, I'm sure Sid's got views.
Yeah, like I'm glad to see a little showcase of what every Championship fan wanted to see with Saracens, and that is a bit of star power and them playing really, really good rugby, and there were flourishes of that. I won't start off straight away with all the great, you know, compliments of how well Saracens played. I will put in a little word of warning. You know, early on there was a lot of trepidation around, like, you know, the set piece and stuff like that. There were a couple of scrums that Jersey seemed to have the upper hand on and stuff like that, which goes to show that, you know, there's still holes to be picked in a Saracens performance. And it's, again, as a neutral to it, it's promising that people still might be able to get the upper hand on Saracens in some areas of the game if they pay close attention and they utilize that the right way. But other than that, like I completely agree with Fiddler. The young lads out there, it's really, really good to see them shining. You know, those players that could be England stars in the future. I thought Obatoyinbo getting, was it 2 tries? That was fantastic, because so often he is just used as a generic back three replacement guy, and so I think his preferred position is fullback, and he'll usually just come on the wing for the last 15 minutes or whatever. And he's so dangerous in space. Like, if you watch any of his old, you know, A-League games for Saracens and stuff like that, when he has got some space, you've never seen anyone move like him before. It's incredible. Like, that's why Saracens put so much faith in him, despite him being, you know, small and pretty skinny and all the rest of it. Same thing with Ratemi Sagan. He's incredible with ball in hand, and he's just so fast, and he accelerates so quickly. Incredible player to watch. Sky's the limit for him as well, and we're getting to see more and more of him, which is great. One other player I'll mention, Fiddler, that I really enjoy watching. He was on the bench this week. But I just love watching every single game. Dom Morris. Like, he shined in the England under 20s Six Nations, I think, a couple of years ago. And if you watch his previous performances for Saracens, I'm sure throughout the rest of the Championship season as well, he's going to play an integral part. And I really think he's going to be big. He's going to be huge. And I'd really like to see him go far as well. So yeah, in terms of, you know, individual performances and standouts there, I thought there's some really, really good stuff on show.
I think as well, sort of, we're seeing a new breed of player. I think, you know, we all remember Jacques Berger at Saracens being the guy with the monstrous hit, and, you know, which he did, and that was fun to watch. But he has lost his record, I believe, in terms of the number of tackles completed in a game. I think, is it Sean Reffel?
I can give you that. I can give you that one if you like.
Go on then.
Previously, I thought it was 37, but I think it's actually 34. It was one of them that was held by Jacques Berger as the Saracens club tackle record for a game. And yeah, Sean Raphael put in 39 in a Premiership game against Worcester Warriors.
Bloody hell.
39.
That's massive.
Good effort. That's
an insane amount of tackles.
It's a bit of a continuation of... you know, like, you've got that, like, whole class of 2008 thing where it was, you know, James George, Owen Farrell, George Cruz, Will Fraser, Jackson Ray, yada yada yada, that all came up and turned out to be the top Saracens guys. And now, yeah, maybe we're starting to see the early blossoming of maybe that new generation of players that played either Saracens Academy or, you know, still in their teenage years, playing for the senior team. So, yes, exciting. I'm loving watching them. I think it's great.
If we're doing shout-outs, can I quickly go back to Ealing and just say...
Absolutely.
For two players over the weekend, so Rain Smith, the captain, and Will Davis, both celebrated their 100th caps for Ealing, which is, you know, an amazing achievement to reach 100 caps in anything. You've got to be a phenomenal athlete. So congrats to those lads, and well done for celebrating with tries as well.
What a day.
I saw the props try. I saw that on highlights. It was he almost took out one of the officials, actually. I think I saw him almost take out the referee as he flopped over.
Yeah, it was an intercept in his own try line, and he ran the length of the pitch. That's what it'll be in 5 years' time. That story of him scoring that try, sure.
Took out the referee on the way over.
Run at the referee. Everyone knows that. That's another one from the Sid Young School of Coaching. Run at the referee. That's where the gap is.
Round at the referee. It's true. So we've still got two unbeaten teams that we haven't talked about. Cornish Pirates and Doncaster Knights. Two slightly different stories on their unbeaten records at the moment. Cornish Pirates have been a bit more convincing, I think. They won by 20 points this week and obviously by a bit more than a score last week. Doncaster, however, won by 1 point this week, ran it close against Coventry, and only 2 points last week against Ampthill. So they're sitting on a points difference of 3. But they do remain unbeaten. What do we think? Do we think they're just lucky? Think they're lucky there? I think they almost threw it away against Coventry, didn't they?
Well, I mean, Coventry's come back from being 20 points to 7 down at half time to come back to almost snatch a win. Yeah, you'd potentially say that Doncaster were lucky, but actually you've got to defend that total, haven't you? You've got to get yourself in a position to win a game, and that's what they did. I think, you know, the first half they scored 3 tries. I think Sam Olver at fly half is pulling strings. You know, one of the tries that he set up. What I love to see, you know, watching him is that how flat he takes the ball and how well he attacks the line and just holds the defence in. Lovely show and go. Mm. Dummy was bought. He went sailing through the gap, and then it was a simple 2-on-1, which set up their second try, and it's just really sort of fascinating to see him play. Reminds me a little bit, the way his running style reminds me a lot of Toby Flood, actually. But I think Sam Olver is someone that we need to keep an eye on.
Thought you was going to say yourself.
Ha, no, definitely not. Charles doesn't have a championship level running style.
Unfortunately, not anymore.
Not anymore? Bloody never.
But yes, I think, you know, so in terms of that, Doncaster have found a way to win games, and that's what you want to do. I mean, it's only 10 games this season. You want to try and win as many as possible, and they're finding a way to grind out results, you know, whether that be the 19-17 win last week against Ampthill or the 1-pointer against Coventry on Friday night. You know, they're doing what they need to do to win games. So is that necessarily a bad thing? No, I think they've got some exciting talent there, as I've just discussed, and I think they'll probably be a tough nut to crack. They probably won't challenge for that position in the final, but they'll cause people problems.
I know we're going to talk about the next round a little bit later on, but who is their next game? Just remind me.
So Doncaster are away at Hartbury, and then Coventry have got Ealing. And the final, so was it Pirates, they've got Bedford Blues down at the Menai.
Interesting, because Hartbury and Blues both sitting mid-table there. So Cornish Pirates and Doncaster Knights sitting at the top. Be interesting to see how they get on. That might be the round that separates the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. If one of them happens to slip up against one of the mid-table teams. Sorry, Sid, you were going to say?
No, I was just thinking that will probably, you know, that next round and that next game might be the indicator of what we're kind of hypothesizing. You know, is it, do they genuinely have an ability to find a point of winning and play to that point, or is it just, you know, been a good stroke of luck, and did Coventry just run out of time in that last game? You know, we'll see how it pans out in the next game. And if they, you know, if they feel that they can rack up a certain amount of points and you know, put pressure on and you know, ease back into the game when they feel like they can, maybe next, yeah, it'll be a, if it's consistent across three games in a 10-game season, yeah, that might be indicative of it.
Just quickly on the Pirates game, as you say, Jamie, they sort of seem to be slightly more consistent, not consistent, but they seem to be a bit stronger, should we say. You know,
I mean, they were playing Richmond, and no disrespect to Richmond, they've just come up from a lower league. So perhaps you would have expected to see a little bit more, although it wasn't an away game.
But no, on that, you know, for Cornish Pirates, I think, you know, following the Saracens result in round one, you know, you have to back that result up, and you can't let yourself rest on your laurels. You know, you're now the next target. So, oh, they beat Saracens, so, you know, these guys think they're the bee's knees, and to go away, albeit at Richmond, but you never know, could quite easily have turned them over on the day, you know. So it showed that actually, you know, Cornish Pirates were able to back that result against Saracens up, picked up a winning bonus point for four tries, and actually are building something into this season. You know, you, next game's against Bedford. Is it that opportunity again to build again? You know, get another win on board. That's 3 from 3, and you start asking questions, don't you? And we all know they're going to make the final. They'll just pip Ealing. It'll be a Saracens Cornish Pirates final. Saracens just to sneak revenge for the round one loss. There you go. Another bold statement from me.
Another hot take. Hot take from Fitz.
Any thoughts on Bedford and Hartbury then? Just to remind you, Bedford beat Hartbury 33 points to 25 at Goldington Road in Bedford. So, fairly close one there. I didn't quite see how the game unfolded.
With a scoreline like that, it goes for any team, and you know, not specifically Hartbury here, but any time that any of these teams put up a decent scoreline and put up a decent amount of points, but still come away with a loss, I just think will be really disappointing for them, because in a 10-game competition, you've not got the time to adjust. You've not got the time to experiment with different tactics, you know, different players, as if you're in a 12-team competition and you play home and away. So it's a shame to see that, you know, that performance where they've put over 25 points is sort of wasted. Because in a 10-game season, you know, you just can't get away with losses like that. It's a shame.
I think for me, it's a little bit more of a arm wrestle, I think, from, you know, three tries apiece. Bedford just edged it because they've kicked a couple more penalties and maybe the odd conversion. So I think it was a real sort of tussle. You know, two similarly matched teams going for it, and, you know, I think Hartbury will be a little bit disappointed that they've scored three tries away from home, haven't quite been able to take anything from the game. However, you've got Ben Foley, another try, so he's top of the standings at the moment with 4 tries in 2 games. So, you know, there appears to be something that they're doing right. The attack seems to be going well. And then maybe just a little bit of discipline. But, you know, with Bedford as well, I mean, Joe Atkinson's try, if you've seen it, it's a lovely bit of footwork from the back rower to get himself into the space to go through the defensive line and through to the try line. So, you know, there were some flashes of some individual brilliance within that game. And I just think they'll be disappointed to have come out on the losing side of that tussle. I think it was a close game.
All right, let's move on to next week's preview then. Preview and predictions. So, I'll give you a quick rundown of the fixtures. We've got Coventry at home to Ealing Trailfinders, Hartbury at home to Doncaster, Richmond at home to Jersey, Cornish Pirates at home to Bedford Blues, Ampthill at home to Nottingham, and Saracens have a bye week. Charles, let's go to you first. Coventry or Ealing?
Ealing.
Ealing, simple. Sid?
I'll say Ealing, but Ealing by. Ealing by.
Oh, you're going to score prediction, are you?
I think it's pretty much given that Ealing's gonna take it, and I think we need to add a little bit of spice. So Ealing by, but I don't think it's gonna be like the 50-point beatings. I think by 30.
Okay, Ealing by 30. Charles, care to add a?
I think Ealing will score another 50.
Oh, confident.
Okay. Is it going to be a winning margin of 50-ish? Or?
Well, they'll score 50 points, so it'll probably be... Well, it'll probably be like 630.
Right, we could both be right. We could still win by 30 and then score 50. Yeah.
No, I still think they'll hit a half century. They're on fire at the moment, so...
Okay, I'm also going to go Ealing, but I think Coventry might put up a little bit more of a fight, so...
They'll score 9 points.
they might double it. They might double Ampthill's. We might be seeing a double.
Ealing will be in trouble by the end of the season if they might get doubling these scores.
I think it will be Ealing by 40.
And will they get over 50? Or will it be 40-0?
No, I'm going to go under 50.
Under 50, but they'll win by 40.
Yeah.
It's like a classic game of higher and lower, this.
Yeah.
Good game.
This is quite a good game.
Next game then, let's not do points, let's just keep going with winners for now. Hartbury against Doncaster, Hartbury at home. Sid, you first.
I think Hartbury are going to be energised and Doncaster have been walking too thin a line. Hartbury for the win.
Okay, Charles?
Oh, I think Doncaster to continue the unbeaten run. I think the two previous performances, they've ground out results. Could this third game be the one where we finally see a complete performance?
Okay, interesting. That's a tough one, isn't it? I'm going to go with the home side, Hartbury. Go with home advantage. Okay, Richmond against Jersey. That's an interesting tie. Richmond at home against Jersey. Charles, Fids, what do you think?
For me, I think it will be Jersey, an away win.
Going for Jersey. Okay. Sydney?
Yeah, I'm going to go Jersey as well. I think they'll take a lot from the Saris game in terms of performance and learn a lot off the back of it. I think Jersey.
Okay. I'm going to take a punt and go with Richmond.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they've got a couple of games under the belts now. They've got a game more than Jersey have. They're starting to get a feel for what it's like in the league. I reckon they might scratch out a win.
You reckon this could be it? This could be their day?
It might be. It might be. Okay. We'll see. But yeah, Richmond for me. Pirates at home to Bedford Blues. Sid?
Pirates at home to Bedford Blues. I think you've got to say Pirates, didn't you? At home, on the streak that they're on, wind in their sails. Wind in their sails.
Pirates. Oh, God.
It just comes natural to me, honestly. Right, anyway.
What's a pirate's favourite letter?
R.
Or so you'd think, but her first love was always the sea.
Jesus. Okay, I'm also going to go Pirates. Charles?
Yeah, Captain Bembo and the rest of the Cornish Pirate fan base will be going 3-3.
Okay, Pirates clean sweep across the board there. Ampthill versus Nottingham, last game of the week. Fiddler?
Two teams that have had absolute stuffings by Ealing. This could end up being probably the game of the weekend, couldn't it? This could be an absolute thriller.
Yes. Could be tight.
And I'm going to go with a Nottingham win.
Knots. Sid?
Yeah, you're right. Two burnt teams, two scarred teams there. I'm actually going to go Nottingham as well. I have a good feeling about it.
Knots as well.
Yeah, Nottingham.
I'm going to go Ampthill. I think they got they've got stuff by Trailfinders this week, but they narrowly lost to Doncaster last week. They seem to have had a reasonable game up until that point, barring the three yellow cards. So I'm going to go Amtel for that. That's how I see it. And let's just have a quick take on what your fixture to watch is, game to watch. Sid?
I really like the idea of the Nottingham Amtel game. Both coming off the loss, Nottingham have had the longer time to recover. What do they, as a coaching staff, like what are you setting up from? You've got nothing to really go off, because the disparity between, the previous opponent has just been so big, and they've just taken an absolute beating. So where do you go from that? And you obviously can't take your eyes off Ealing either. I think Ealing are also the team to watch at the moment. So see if they can keep that level of consistency up as well.
But if you had to pick one, Amtel Nottingham, is that it?
Yeah, go on then. Amtel Nottingham. That's the one I'm watching.
Okay, Charles.
I'm gonna say Pirates versus Bedford. Pirates, can they keep their winning streak going? Bedford, will they continue the form from, beating Hartbury? What will it be like? So I think that could be a good game.
I think Hartbury Doncaster is going to be quite a tight one. I think that could be a bit of a clash.
I agree. Good
Doncaster will want to continue their winning streak. Hartbury will want to come back. So, yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Some great games. Great games up in the next round.
So, last play.
Oh, you know what time it is.
Here we go. Let's see if we can keep it under half an hour this time.
Hashtag since last play.
I really made an effort.
Well, let's start it. Let's get it on the road.
Okay. Obviously, I need to give you the background. So I've actually taken some more inspiration from the basketball world. At the moment, we've got March Madness happening, which is a college basketball tournament. And it's like a knockout in the bracket format of how they play. So this person versus this person, then the winner plays them, playoffs all round. So what I've done, I thought, right, bracket. There we go. We'll just do that. You pick this or that, and then we basically churn out an eventual winner. So what do we do it with? Championship rugby.
It's not a sevens game.
No, it's not a sevens game. It's not a sevens game. You're basically going to... I'm going to give you two options, and you're going to give me your preferred one, and then we're going to pick out a winner. So what is it going to be? What are we picking from? I was going to do an ultimate championship player bracket. So like best players ever to play in the championship, stuff like that. And I spent like 5 minutes researching, and honestly, there's just too many. There's too many to name. It's too good. You know, for all of our tens of listeners, they'd all be very angry that I missed out this person or this person or whatever else. So I was just like looking through the teams, and by the time I got to B and Bedford Blues, I thought there's enough here to just do like team against team. So I've got some of Bedford Blues' best ever players to go on to play in the championship and then go on to play in the premiership or other competitions and stuff, or internationals and stuff like that. And then weirdly, just because they popped up as well, I've looked at some notable players from Leeds Tykes, formerly Leeds RUFC, Leeds Carnegie, formerly Yorkshire Carnegie, and picked out some of their best previous players. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a player from Leeds and a player from Bedford. And then I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to ask who you'd prefer on your team, or who do you think is a better player? Whatever your view is, we're just going to go through it. And then they're going to progress to the next round and the next round and the next round until we find our ultimate Bedford and Leeds player.
Lovely.
Just because they're the two teams that I saw, and there's some great names in here. Really good.
Let's do it.
Okay, so, right, first round, we'll go really, really quick. I'm not going to give background on people or whoever. Just tell me who you think it was. Round one, Jordan Crane versus Rory Underwood.
Oh,
I think that's a pretty clear winner. I don't know about you.
Underwood.
Fids?
I'm going on your drop goal start of thinking, and Jordan Crane kicked the winning shootout goal.
He did.
Leicester in the Heineken Cup. So it's got to be Jordan Crane. It's number 8 kicking the winning goal.
Okay, so in the event of a split between you two, I'm going to pick. And I just can't think. I don't think you can argue with Rory Underwood.
Okay, fair enough.
Still ahead of Johnny May. Next round. Tom Varndell versus Martin Bayfield. These are completely random, by the way. They're not grouped in any way. They're completely random.
It's got to be Tom Varndell.
Tom Varndell, Martin Bayfield. Fiddler?
I'd say the same.
Tom Varndell. Okay, next round. Ian Balshaw versus Lee Dixon.
Balshaw.
Yeah, Jamie Balshaw as well.
Yeah.
Oof, okay. Ian McGeechan versus Andy Gomersall. Ian McGeechan.
Geach. Yeah.
Pretty quick on that one. I'll tell you why I threw Andy Gomersall in there in case anyone was wondering. It was because he paid a visit to my first ever rugby club on my first ever game. Not specifically for me, but he just happened to be at the club on the day and then stuck his head in the changing rooms and said hello to my team. So shout out Andy Gomersall. Changing lives. Top lad.
Next.
Next, Alex Popham, Paul Sackey.
Sackey.
It's got to be Paul Sackey.
Paul Sackey. Okay. So this one I have set up. I did set this one up. So this one wasn't random. This pairing. you'll see why they're paired. Martin Afire versus Kevin Sinfield. Now, if you know your rugby league, two rugby league legends. They're two of the Mount Rushmore. If you're going to have Mount Rushmore of British rugby league.
I think it's got to be Martin Afire because he did more in Union than Sinfield.
Okay.
Nah, Sinfield.
Sinfield, going for the big Sinfield, eh?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a split there. That's really interesting. This is really tough because they're both huge. I'm actually siding with Fiddler on this one. I'm going Sinfield. Because Martin Afire did do more in Union, but Kevin Sinfield is just the king of Leeds. And he's Kevin Sinfield MBE, no less. Yeah, I think he's an underrated guy. Justin Marshall, New Zealand scrum half legend Justin Marshall versus Tom Palmer.
Marshall.
Justin Marshall.
Marshall any day.
These are all Leeds players from now on, by the way. Okay. Clash of England legends. Mark Regan versus Dan Scarborough.
Scarborough.
I don't think I know either of those people.
No, you don't know your World Cup winners, no?
Mark who?
Mark Regan.
Mark
Regan.
Scarborough, because on Rugby 08, he had pace of like 95 or something stupid.
All right, I'm going to go Regan just to be controversial and make Sid choose.
I'm actually going to go Dan Scarborough as well. So one for Fiddler as well there. Shout out Mark Regan there. Scarbs through to the next round. Okay, so now we're through to the quarterfinals, I think this would be.
Right, let's race through. I'm ready.
England leading try scorer of all time, Rory Underwood. And I think this still stands Premiership try scorer record of all time. Varndell? Is that? I don't think that
was Mark Queto.
Well, no, yeah, Mark.
No.
He overtook think, Mark.
No, Varndell took him.
Yeah, I think that was it. That's why I'm thinking about overtaking. Yeah, so Underwood versus Varndell. Who do you want on your team?
I'm going to say Varndell.
It's not staged, ladies and gentlemen. This is it.
It's Varndell because I'm a Wasps fan. I kind of have to go Varndell.
Okay. No, I'm taking precedent on this one. I'm going Underwood. I'm going Rory Underwood.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't think you can take away from that. Yeah, Varndell though, hell of a player. Pretty abrasive, very abrasive winger.
He saved Wasps as a club with one tackle. One tackle saved Wasps' existence.
He's got that one singed into the memory. Right?
Sorry.
Honestly.
Okay.
To sleep.
next round. Ian Balshaw versus Ian McGeechan. Battle of the Ians. Is it one eye or two? Who knows?
Geach.
Ian McGeechan.
It's got to be
Ian McGeechan. I mean, as great as Ian Balshaw is, everything that Ian McGeechan's done for rugby. Oh, tell you what, that's making for a huge semi-final, but we'll get to that in a minute. It's a couple of tough customers here. Paul Sackey versus Kevin Sinfield.
Sackey.
Sinfield.
Sinfield and Sackey. Oh! Again, it's down to me. Ugh. Unpopular opinion, but you know what? If we're going to say who's done more for the game, I think Kevin Sinfield has done more for rugby league than Paul Sackey has done for rugby union.
There we go. That's your answer then.
Shocking. Shocking decision, I mean, on a rugby union podcast.
But hey.
Don't hate the messenger.
Yeah, don't hate the game. We're all united here. Look. Right, okay, I'm going Sinfield. I think it celebrates the diversity in the championship. You know, who knows where people could go? Could they get rugby league, rugby union, sevens, everything? A lot of good sevens players in amongst all these as well, by the way. Justin Marshall versus Dan Scarborough. What a pairing.
Marshall.
Yeah, you go Justin Marshall there, I think, didn't you? That's also a really interesting semi-final. Okay, so semi-finals time. Rory Underwood versus Ian McGeachan. Who do you want on your team? Whoa.
Geach.
Yeah, Ian McGeachan.
You're both saying Ian McGeachan.
Yeah.
For that one, I actually think I would have said Underwood, but okay, we're going Ian McGeachan. He can coach when he's retired as well afterward. And then again, like how do you compare these two? Kevin Sinfield versus Justin Marshall.
Marshall. Both Sinfield's got no place in here right now. Sinfield should have gone in the first round.
Tell you what, we're gonna post this on Twitter or something. I'm gonna get Kevin Sinfield in on this. He's gonna come knocking at your door, mate. Beat you up. I'd pay to see that.
Kevin Sinfield,
mate, King of Leeds. Okay, the final for the ultimate player to have ever played for Bradford Blues and Leeds. Ian McGeachan or Justin Marshall?
It's got to be Justin Marshall.
Oh, I'd say Ian McGeachan.
You're saying Ian McGeachan?
No. No, you don't get into an All Black side for no reason. You don't get into an All Black side for no reason. It's got to be Justin Marshall.
You don't win Lions tours as a player and as a coach for no reason.
Yeah, but we're talking about playing prowess, aren't we?
Yeah. McGeachan was ahead of his time.
Nah.
I'm gonna give you an opportunity, both of you, to settle this yourself, not by using me.
That's why you're here, so you can't sit on the fence now.
Bonus point. Can you tell me which of the people in this game that I've mentioned played for both teams? For both Bedford and Leeds? Was it A, Martin Bayfield? Was it B, Ian Balshaw? Or was it C, Andy Gomersall?
Gomersall.
I'd say Andy Gomersall.
Well, that's no fun because you've both got it right. So it comes back down to me. Andy Gomersall did play for both. Comes down to me. I am going to say for the win, I'm going to say Justin Marshall.
That's outrageous.
I'm going to say Justin Marshall. Shocking. You know what? I'm just thinking about in terms of a distinguished... I mean, they've both got very distinguished playing careers.
He didn't even win a World Cup, Justin Marshall. He played nine for New Zealand.
Yeah, but didn't he do that like 80 times or something?
Yeah.
He'd done it a lot.
He's good.
He's a great player. But Ian McGeachan, if we're doing it, done more for rugby. Well, the fact that Ian McGeachan...
Look, I didn't lay out the law too specifically, but... I think I'd talk to Ian McGeachan for longer and all that sort of stuff. But if I wanted someone on my team, I think I'd be going for Justin Marshall.
Excellent. Okay, so who's won head to head out of me and Charles? Who's made the best decisions?
I think I get.
You're not involved. You're supposed to be doing the games head to head for us. So
I think Fiddler actually got more right along the way. Actually, so I think points.
So that's one all.
Yeah, all of your bad decisions along the way don't justify.
Even though I got the final right.
Yeah, that won't count. It was more of an exploration of opinions, to be honest.
I'm glad to win. Very happy to win. Right. One all going into round three. Look forward to hashtag Sid Lard's play next week.
Look, chuck it in. Any great players that we've missed out, you know, let us know. Hashtag Sid's last play. Should we do an ultimate one? Who should be in the ultimate player out of all the teams? Best player ever to play in the championship? Let us know. Hashtag Sid's last play.
And with that, we've reached the end of the podcast. So, Fiddler, Sid, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure as always.
You're not welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next week for round 3 of the Green King IPA Championship 2021. Have a good week, and we'll see you then.